Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you that we can draw near into your very presence as your people, because in your love and goodness, you have first reached out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you have not only called us individually, personally into your kingdom, but you have also called us together as your people. We thank you that we need not go through the difficulties and struggles of life at a personal level, but also can have the encouragement and fellowship of the brethren. And yet, Father, we also realize that it is not easy to work out together in oneness of heart. There are differences in the way we look at things, differences in personality, background experiences, and also there are many different ways the evil one can stir up problems in working out together in oneness of heart. We pray that you will continue to deepen our conviction of the meaning and significance of fulfilling our part in the body of Christ faithfully, reliably, that may bring joy and pleasure to your heart and also contribute to the fulfillment of your purposes. We entrust this time to your hands and pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us and strengthen our resolve to be true and faithful to you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 69th message, on the major topic of moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 38th message. And Lord willing, this will be the concluding message on being a trustworthy and faithful member of the body of Christ. Being a trustworthy and faithful member of the body of Christ is extremely important if we desire to be faithful to the Lord, because the body of Christ is very important to the Lord and is also at the very heart of the fulfillment of God's purposes. We have seen that this aspect of our lives, our role and responsibility, begins the moment we are Christians. When we are born of the Spirit, we are at the same time baptized into the body of Christ. This means we are spiritually joined to Christ and also spiritually joined to all God's children in the body of Christ. So whether we realize it, we are working at it or not, we are spiritually one in the body of Christ. The issue is how well do we faithfully live out as members of the body of Christ in the way that God desires of us. We cannot opt out of it. We are in it. When we are Christians, we are members of the body of Christ. And this continues throughout our time on earth in the dimension of the universal church and in the local context in our working of church life wherever feasible. I put it in this way is because in the universal church is in the more in the spiritual dimension and is always true. We are always in the universal church. But in the local context, the local expression, it may not always be feasible. For example, there are contexts where believers are isolated. They are by themselves. Somehow they have heard the gospel, they turned to the Lord, whether through radio, or they went somewhere, someone shared the gospel with them, and then they went back to a certain location, or someone passing by shared the gospel with them. And so it's not quite feasible for them to work out in a local context in church life. So wherever feasible, it's the Lord's desire that we work out faithfully in a local context in church life, as revealed in the scriptures. A prominent analogy used in the scriptures to communicate how God wants us to live is to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, for example. And good soldiers must learn to function well and fight effectively as an army. And in this regard, there are various parallels to how we should live and function in body life and how to be trustworthy and faithful members of the body of Christ. So I'll just briefly mention this. Perhaps it can help us remember as well as come through in a stronger measure some aspects in relation to working out in body life. Consider two armies, A and B. Both have soldiers with great potential. And this is true for all in the body of Christ. We are all created in the image of God. We all have great potential in Christ. Army A, the soldiers have been helped to see, and they do, in fact, care for one another. And they are well-disciplined. They are orderly. They know and they are convicted about why they are in the army, what they are preparing for, what they are fighting for. And so there is high morale. They have effective, regular training, and they have good equipment. The soldiers learn how to complement one another in their different roles, and also learn to fight as one united army. They also know the enemy, and also how to counter and overcome the enemy. You can see that this would be a conducive environment for each soldier to develop to his full potential and also fulfill his part well. So the conducive environment is relevant. The army is well equipped, morale is high, and able to fight well, effectively, and overcome the enemy. Contrast Army B. The soldiers, they all care for themselves and their own career advancement. They want to be promoted. They try to project themselves. They don't really care for one another. Basically, selfish, self-centered. They're ill-disciplined, disorderly, rebellious. There's no motivation. And they are blur as to what they are fighting for. There's no proper training, no proper equipment. And so the morale is very low. They do not learn to complement one another. They do not fight as one united army. They do not know their enemy. We know that such a context will not be conducive for the individual soldiers to develop well to their full potential. And as an army, it is ill-equipped, morale is low. The whole army will not be able to fight together effectively, and easily they'll be routed by the enemy. Which army would you like to be in? And which army is faring well? I think the answer is obvious. We all want to be in Army A. And in truth, we actually have a say what kind of army we will be in. If we learn to encourage one another, to help one another, we can become Army A and not just hope to be placed in Army A. So let us learn to function well and fulfill our part effectively in the body and work towards body life functioning well in the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith. I emphasize unity of the Spirit, unity of the faith, because it's not just a question of believers coming together and have a sense of oneness in what they are seeking to do. It must be led by the Spirit and a true appreciation of the meaning and implications of the faith as revealed by the Lord in the Scriptures and not our own agenda. In that way, we can become a mighty army for God and fight the good fight of faith. And this goes beyond just an analogy, because we indeed do have a formidable foe, and we are in a spiritual battle. There are many under the evil one, the evil spirits, and it is not easy to overcome and to win this battle unless we learned how to fight well, not only at a personal level, but also together as members of the body of Christ. It is vital that each one of us learn to be a trustworthy and faithful member of the body of Christ, and also together express body life effectively, because we know that in that way, the manifold wisdom of God can be made known through the church for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose in Christ. We've seen that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So this is very important for the fulfillment of God's purposes. I'll now go on to summarize some important points and principles on the basis of what has already been covered in the preceding three messages on this subject. It's helpful for us to pay attention, to ponder over them. Important to understand, absorb, and that these principles become the basis for the formation of our attitude and approach to life if we want to be trustworthy and faithful members of the body of Christ. I want to begin with this point that the primary motivation in seeking to fulfill well our role as a trustworthy and faithful member of the body of Christ must be our desire to be faithful to God. This must be the primary motivation. Not just because we think we'll enjoy it, or because it will please other people, or to fulfill men's expectations. Not that they are always irrelevant. There's a place to consider what will be pleasing to others and their expectations, wherever legitimate. But primarily, ultimately, the primary motivation must be because we want to be faithful to our good and gracious God. This leads on to the next point. It follows that all that we say and do, including our approach, not just the outward, but the approach and the attitude and the whole spirit of it, it must be honoring and pleasing to God and consistent with what He has revealed in the scriptures. It is very obvious when pointed out, but sad to say, many of God's children, in many of the things that we do, and even in seeking to work out as a group in church life and in many other contexts, this basic, important, vital principle is often violated. Where does it begin? It must begin with the realities within our heart and spirit. It doesn't begin with the outward conduct, actions, but at a deeper level, we can say it doesn't actually begin with ourselves. It begins with God. He's creating us, He's redeeming us, His plans and purposes, and His Spirit working in our hearts, drawing us in that direction. But we must respond positively to God's call and the Spirit at work. And it must begin with the realities within our heart and spirit. And the moment there is that positive response in our hearts, there would already be an impact in the spiritual realm and the body of Christ, even when there are no obvious outward expressions. And this is very important for us to recognize. Where there are positive attitudes within our hearts and spirit, it will straight away make a difference in a universal church and also in our working of church life at a local context. For example, our gathering together in this way, when you come with a positive spirit, it will straight away affect not the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, but it will also have a bearing on how God works in the situation and also its impact on the hearts and spirit of those who are gathered. But it's not just when we are gathered in this way. So at all times, the realities in our heart and spirit will have a bearing, positively or negatively, in the spiritual realm and on the body of Christ. Next point. We shouldn't stop at the inward realities. We must also recognize where the inward realities are present, it also would mean that there should be and there ought to be outward expressions wherever appropriate. I emphasize, it must be wherever appropriate, not just a lot of activities, a lot of expressions, but we need to look to the Lord to guide us. But wherever appropriate, we must trust the Lord and express it. But even as we express it outwardly, we must still remember that the meaning and value of what we say and do is dependent on the meaning and realities in the heart and spirit. And this is what we must constantly pay great attention to. That even the midst of activities that are positive, motivated by positive desires to honor the Lord and to contribute, to participate, it may begin that way, but we must continue to recognize continually the positive meaning must be present and wherever possible to seek to deepen it, because the meaning and the value of whatever we may say and do is dependent on the strength, the quality and meaning within our heart and spirit. The next point, as we seek to work out in body life, whatever positive expressions, it is an expression of our love for the Lord, our love for the brethren, and also our love for the perishing. We know that God has called us at the heart of it to learn to love God and to love our neighbor. And as we seek to work out in church life, it has a direct bearing on responding to God's call to learn to love. Love for the brethren may be easier to understand, but you may wonder why I also include love for the perishing. Let us realize that God wants us to care, to be concerned about the plight of the perishing. And the biblical emphasis on body life is actually directly relevant to the concern and burden for the perishing. Because God's way, the biblical pattern, effectiveness of the reaching out and the effective helping of those who do not know the Lord in a manner that is sustainable, wholesome, effective, must be in the context where the brethren are being built up in their personal lives and also together in church life. And those that will first be effective for the reaching out to the lost, and then for the Lord, for those who do not know the Lord, having turned to the Lord, for them also then to be integrated into the fellowship of the brethren and to be built up in a wholesome way. And then they in turn contribute further to the reaching out to others who do not yet know the Lord. In this regard, at this point, just a brief remark, I will not elaborate here, but this is actually a very important aspect that in another context I may go further. And that is how at a local level, where the brethren learn how to work out well in church life is effective, we contribute significantly. The potential is there. Not only to the direct reaching out to the perishing, direct witness to non-believers, but also the impact and the support of others in the universal church reaching out to the perishing. Not only to the effectiveness of the communication of the truth, but also sustaining them, sustaining the believers. Also, the need to recognize that God, the sovereign Lord, is overlooking and supervising the whole thing in the universal church. And different members of the body of Christ and different groups of believers seeking to work out in expression of church life in a local context may have different emphasis. Different groups may be emphasizing in different ways. No group can be doing everything in the universal church or what God intends for the whole universal church. But God in His wisdom will guide, undertake that in the universal church, there are different parts of it, fulfilling what will be most helpful, effective. That is, if we are all responding well to what the Lord desires. But even in the midst of significant failures, God is still seeking to bring out the best under the circumstances and all those who love the Lord, not on a personal level, but also as we seek to work out together in church life, as we concentrate on being faithful to the Lord, we will most effectively contribute not only to church life, body life, in the local context, but in the most effective way to contribute our part to the universal church. The next point. Each one of us in the body of Christ should concentrate on fulfilling our own part well, rather than concentrating on whether others are fulfilling their part and what they are doing or fail to do. We need to be careful that our primary concentration must be on fulfilling our own part well. And each one of us will have to give an account to the Lord for the way we fulfill our part or fail to fulfill our part. Ultimately, we do not give an account for the lives of others. They will have to give an account for their lives. But you may say, is there no place for us to be interested in what others are doing and how they are going about their lives? The answer is yes. There is a proper place, but I want to elaborate on what it means. There is a proper place for us to be interested in what other members of the body of Christ are doing and how others are fulfilling their part. This is part of the expression of our love and concern for them. And it should be because of our love and concern for them. And also, this interest in how others are going on and how they are faring and what they are doing, it also involves this aspect of attitude, of wanting to understand them so that we can also learn from them, as well as contribute to their lives and an encouragement to them, supportive of them in the direction of their desire to be faithful to the Lord, and also how we can learn and grow together in oneness of heart. All this requires our taking an active interest in the lives of the brethren. But it should not be tainted by an unhealthy spirit of comparison or competition. We are in it together, moving in the same direction. This may seem obvious, but sad to say, often there is the presence of an unhealthy spirit of comparison and competition even amongst God's children in the body of Christ. And it is something the evil one will seek to stir up and to promote. But we must be careful of that. Or an unhealthy, critical, fault-finding spirit. Yes, we can be concerned where we do see aspects of weaknesses or failures in what way we can pray for others to help them in any way we can. But be careful not to have an unhealthy, critical, fault-finding spirit, but to concentrate on our own lives. How are we faring? Are there aspects in our lives that we need to put right? Or a preparedness to work at it only if others are doing so. This is not uncommon. We are affected by how others are working at it or not, or our perception of it. Or in any way allowing ourselves to be discouraged by perception of failures and weaknesses of others. I say perception because that's what we think. That's what we perceive. But it may be accurate, it may not be accurate. But whatever it may be, we need to recognize that how we live our lives must be primarily motivated by our desire to be faithful to the Lord and to the truth that we have come to recognize. So when we recognize God's call, we recognize how He wants us to work at it in the body of Christ, then we set our hearts on it and we work at it. Whether others are working at it, to what degree, whether we see they are failing or not, we will work at it because we want to be faithful to God. So all these various aspects, tainted by unhealthy spirit of comparison, competition, unhealthy critical fault-finding spirit, preparedness to work at it only if others are doing so, allowing ourselves to be discouraged by perception of failures and weaknesses of others, these are not uncommon. But let us realize that these are marks of immaturity and failures. So we need to prayerfully look to the Lord to be sensitive to the presence or the emergence of these unhealthy traits and deal with them. Because they grieve the Spirit of God, they'll be damaging for our own lives, and they will be detrimental to the life of the body. The next point, in the midst of struggles, failures, difficulties, the attacks of the evil one, we need to be conscious, affirm our belief in God's revelation that He has made adequate provisions for the growth of every believer and for the growth of the body. At times, the situation may look discouraging, may look overwhelming, but we know that we can trust God. He has made adequate provisions. Let us continue to trust Him and seek to be faithful and know that it will not be in vain. The next point, we also know that God has revealed how body life ought to function so that each member and the whole body can be built up in love. The major principles and emphasis in church life. It's not for us to just say that, well, I want to contribute, I want to be positive, and that is enough. There are major principles, as well as the emphasis in church life that God has revealed, and we must pay attention to these things and seek to work out accordingly. Then the Spirit of God will have much freedom to work in the midst of His people, because these principles are not arbitrary. There is meaning in why, there are reasons, there's meaning why God has laid down these principles, and if you violate them, it will grieve the Spirit of God. You'll hinder the Spirit from working, and also detrimental to any believer who violates them, as well as the body life. The next point that we have noted, is the importance of learning to appreciate and receive from the ministry of others in the body and the expression of body life. God has not just called us individually to Himself and we just concentrate on being faithful to God on our own and thinking that if just between us and God is adequate, sufficient, that is best. That is not the best. God's best is that we learned also to appreciate others in the body and learn to receive also from the ministry of others. Appreciate and receive. And it doesn't come automatically, spontaneously to all of us. We need to learn to appreciate and to receive. And not just from those whom we think are very spiritual and mature. We must also learn to appreciate, learn and receive from others who are less mature and even those with weaknesses and failures in their lives. We can learn from all in the body of Christ, and God wants to teach us through the lives of various ones and also the total expression of body life. That's the way we can learn to grow in a wholesome manner. But even as we seek to appreciate, learn and receive, we must also, not subsequently, but at the same time, seek to contribute what is feasible and appropriate for us in our context at our stage of development, and also how God has equipped us, how God designs us in the body, whether it be a nose, mouth, ear. This is the proper working of each individual part. So both aspects need to go together, and all in submission to the Lord, looking to Him for guidance, enabling, undertaking. The next related point, understanding the big picture of God's call and the major issues in the fulfillment of God's purposes, the ways of God and our working of healthy church life helps us to be effective members of the body of Christ. This is a major burden in my heart and a very major aspect of this whole series of messages on the fulfillment of God's purposes. We want to be faithful to God, we want to live lives that are truly effective. I've mentioned in times past that there are different ways of looking at it, but one way of seeing how to respond well, to live well, is to look at it from the angle of the necessity of two aspects. One is the knowledge of the truth, then the other is the appropriate response to the truth. So this knowledge, this understanding is very important. One aspect is to understand the whole big picture of God's call and also the major issues pertaining to the fulfillment of God's purposes and the ways of God, the working of healthy church life. All these are major aspects that as we learn to understand, to see these things more clearly, more deeply, not just that when we hear them, we say, yes, I've heard this before, I agree. But do we really appreciate, do we have spiritual insight into what these things mean? That makes a difference to the way we live our lives. Because God has revealed these things in the scriptures to help us to be effective members of the body of Christ. As we see, as we understand, there must then follow the appropriate response from our hearts. Not just emotionally or for the moment, but various of these major principles are meant for us to grow in increasing appreciation and meant to guide us and be an integral part of our lives throughout our lives. Related to that, the next point, it is the will of God that each member and all together be united in heart and spirit in positive response to God's call. Each one and together to respond positively to His call. We need to understand His call and then to respond together and to be led and empowered by the Spirit on the basis of what has been accomplished at the cross in prayerful submission to the headship of Christ and for the advancement of God's kingdom. All these have been elaborated in various messages preached in times past and will continue to be preached upon. But I just summarize it here that we can see the big picture together with the various major important principles in our desire to be faithful member of the body of Christ. So it's not just a group of believers trying to be effective in a local context. We need to see all this as part of the big picture of the response to God and what is in the heart of God. And the major aspects revealed in the scriptures, responding to God, led in part by the Spirit, the importance of the role, ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person, the work of Christ, not only what has been accomplished at the cross, but also the implications of the risen Christ, our relationship with Him. United with Christ, abiding in Him and He in us, and all this with the direction of the advancement of God's kingdom. Together with that, we must also recognize the next point, that there is continuing relentless opposition and spiritual attacks by the evil one and the forces of darkness in relation to our working of body life because of its significance to the fulfillment of God's purposes. When it's mentioned, we are all aware of it. Over the years, we have emphasized this aspect. But it's important for us to live our lives with this consciousness, not just acknowledging that there is such a reality, The other is not just general spiritual opposition, but in particular, in relation to body life. The evil one does concentrate his attack on body life and is outworking because of its significance to the fulfillment of God's purposes. And also, outworking of body life is very vulnerable to spiritual attacks. These two aspects, its significance, the other is that body life is very vulnerable. Why? We pause and ponder, we realize, and we can see that it is actually very easy for the evil one to stir up unhappiness, suspicions, conflicts, dissensions, misunderstandings, when there are so many of diverse backgrounds, personalities, past experiences, different way of looking at things, different way of doing things, different levels of maturity, and all seeking to work together with one heart. And on top of that, with weaknesses and deficiencies of all sorts, including many we are not even conscious of. And we need to recognize we all do have weaknesses and deficiencies within the heart. Even where there is positive desire and a commitment to be faithful to God, there are still deficiencies and weaknesses within which the powers of darkness can exploit, and they do exploit, and at times to great effect. And so this leads me to the next point, the need to be constantly prayerful, alert. Importance of learning to recognize and to counter the attacks of the evil one. This should not just be concepts to us, but we must in reality learn to live like that. Able to recognize, to discern the attacks of the evil one. In the past, I've preached a number of messages in this regard. And also, more and more, look to the Lord, to the freedom to deal with our hearts, to deal with our lives, so that there will be no ground for the evil one to work. To learn what it means to put on the whole armor of God. Many Christians talk about putting on the whole armor of God, but do we know what this means? And have we actually put on the armor of God? And to learn how to stand firm in the faith. And important for us to continually adopt the posture of submitting to God and resisting and rejecting whatever is of the evil one. Some of us may not realize that there is such a thing as adopting a posture. It is not helpful to keep on resisting the evil one. It can wear us out, and also we can end up with spiritual difficulties. But as we go through life in the midst of difficulties as well as in the context of service, there can be, and it is helpful for us to adopt this posture in our hearts, that we are looking to the Lord, submitting to Him and whatever is of Him, and at the same time a posture to resist, to reject all that comes from the evil one. And from time to time we recognize something that is of the evil one to stir us or to tempt us, then we can reject that more definitely, that particular aspect. But in general, to adopt this posture is important, and also in the context when we realize that we are under more intense spiritual pressure and attacks. Because when we adopt that posture, it will be a barrier, a hindrance to the evil one working in our lives or in that situation. At the same time, as we adopt this posture of submitting to the Lord in our spirit, God will have greater freedom to work in our lives. This is the way God has created us. The stand that we take will make a difference in the spiritual realm. The ease with which the evil one can work in our lives, or the ease with which and the freedom that God has to work in our lives. Together with this, we must learn to be quick to recognize personal failures and to take corrective measures. It does not mean that in whatever criticisms leveled at us, or at any time anyone tells us that we have this weakness, that weakness, we must straight away say, yes, we need to look to the Lord prayerfully to face it objectively, whether it is true. But let us realize that if indeed we have that weakness, whether others are pointing out to us or not, even without others pointing out to us, wherever there's weakness, there's failure, if we try to excuse ourselves, we rationalize it away, we fail to recognize it, it will be bad for us. It will lead to degeneration. First, it will give room for the evil one to exploit. And especially when we refuse to acknowledge, to face it. So recognizing our failures is very helpful. But not only recognize where we have failed, we must also look to the Lord for wisdom to take corrective measures. These two must go together. It is very helpful for us. In any way, others can help us to see, to recognize our weaknesses, our failures. Indeed, we must be appreciative and thankful. And if we are not, it is a weakness and failure on our part. The next point. Commitment to God and God's call and setting our hearts on doing all we can for the edification of the body is crucial. We can say that this is one of the foundation points, prerequisite, if we want to live well and to be a faithful member of the body of Christ. It's not just on specific actions, specific occasions. The commitment to God, to God's call, and then to set our hearts to do all we can for the edification of the body. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church. We refer to this from time to time, and it's very helpful for us to rest assured that the Lord Jesus has stated, I will build my church. And this refers both to the universal as well as the Lord's desire to build up in the local context wherever God's people look to Him and are desirous to work out in faithfulness to Him, and He has the freedom to work. The Lord Jesus is drawing us in that direction, and He is at work. Our part is to submit to Him, to cooperate with Him. But even as we recognize, it's not just a question of our seeking to build, to work at it. It is the Lord Jesus seeking to build His church. We must set our hearts to move together in that direction with the Lord. But even as the Lord Jesus says, I will build my church, we at the same time recognize that the evil one is set on destroying it. So this has immediate implications. We are not followers of the evil one, but we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. And so as disciples of Christ, we must submit to Him, cooperate with Him in the building of His church, and reject the schemes of the evil one to destroy it. And let us realize that if there is anything in our attitude and conduct that tears down rather than build up, we are in reality succumbing to the schemes of the evil one. It's not just a failure on our part, a weakness, but it's actually succumbing to the schemes of the evil one and cooperating with Him and grieving our Lord. Anything in our attitude and conduct that tears down the body. It can be conduct, but even before conduct, even there's no obvious outward conduct, but inside our hearts. If there's anything in our heart and spirit that is detrimental, that tears down, that's harmful, it's important for us to rectify it. Because beyond just its harmful effects on the body, we are actually succumbing to the schemes of the evil one, and that can have dangerous implications for our lives as well as for the Lord's work if we do not deal with it. It can grow and become more and more serious with far-reaching implications. So in this regard, thus far we can say, to summarize it, that it is not easy to work out well. But at the same time, we have the assurance of God's provision and that God will undertake, and the Lord will help us to succeed if we are prepared to do our part. It's not just a possibility to succeed. We will succeed. The victory has been won. We will succeed if we submit to the Lord. The last major area I want to go on before I go on to some concluding remarks, and that is this symbiotic relationship, that there is a symbiotic relationship between effective body life and healthy growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature of believers. We are not talking about body life, but realize that all this is still being considered under moral, spiritual beauty and stature. You can say that body, moral, spiritual beauty and stature is extremely important for healthy body life, but healthy body life is also very important for growth in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. Both are important and both impact each other. There is a symbiotic relationship, a mutual support. Effective body life is very conducive and it contributes to healthy growth. And not just contribute to healthy growth in some aspects, but healthy growth in all aspects. Remember when I considered with you moral, spiritual beauty and stature, is that there are many aspects to it. And church life, functioning well, can help us grow in many aspects. And that includes even the struggles and the difficulties we encounter in relationships that can help us in the nurturing and development of our character, learning how to love, how to be kind, how to be patient, how to be understanding, how to look beyond ourselves and our struggles, and to learn to care and be concerned for others. But even as effective body life is helpful for growth at a personal level, the other is, as the brethren grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, they become more effective in fulfilling their part in the body. And then this will result in even more effective body life and even more conducive context for further growth of the brethren. This is the upward spiral according to the will of God. This is God's desire, that there be a conducive context, body life working out well, and the various individual believers growing well. And as the individual believers grow well, they are more able to fulfill their part, and body life will work out even more effectively. This is what we should set our hearts upon as we seek to work out together in church life, concentrating on effective body life as well as concern for one another's personal development and our own development. At the same time, we should seek to remove, to minimize, to nullify whatever negative aspects, obstacles and hindrances along the way, whatever would hinder this positive symbiotic relationship between effective body life and healthy growth of individual believers. Some concluding remarks. In observation, there are two unwholesome expressions in society and also amongst believers pulling in opposite directions. Two unwholesome expressions pulling in opposite directions. One is too much emphasis on the individual. The individual's rights, his freedom, his personal well-being, an inadequate emphasis on the common interests of the community and the common good. And it can even be at the expense of the welfare of the community. The rights of the individual, his freedom, and the way he exercises his freedom can be detrimental to the welfare of the community, where there is no wholesome appreciation of what this means. where there's too much emphasis on the freedom of the individual and his rights. On the other hand, the second aspect is unwholesome emphasis on concentrating on the common good and the interests of the community at the expense of the rights and the well-being of the individual and even his dignity and his worth. And all these are important in the sight of God. Every human being created in the image of God, there is dignity, there is worth, potential. That is, subordinating the interests of the individual to the interests of the group under the banner of, inverted commas, for the common good, or in the interests of the larger group. In that context, there can be improper treatment and even gross injustice and at times even cruelty can be inflicted on individuals. But let us realize that this is not God's way. This is not the biblical meaning of for the common good. How God wants us to work out as revealed in the scriptures caters to both the growth and well-being of the individual believer as well as the growth and well-being of the whole body of Christ. And both aspects are to take place at the same time, not one at the expense of the other. If we properly understand, appreciate the biblical revelation and how it works, they never contradict each other. They never are meant to be at the expense of the other. Properly understood and worked out, both aspects complement each other and never at the expense of the other. So as the brethren concentrate on seeking to abound for the edification of the church, as revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, as they seek to abide by the principle of let all things be done for edification, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, it would be a conducive environment for the growth and well-being of every believer and the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. So this would be a continuous, virtuous cycle. Virtuous meaning positive. It's a virtuous cycle, okay, of the upward spiral that we looked at just now, instead of a vicious cycle of self-centeredness, envy, jealousy, disunity that's detrimental to body life and also detrimental to the well-being of individual believers. All that is truly done for the common good and the building up of the community of God's people will not be at the expense of the dignity, the worth, and the welfare of any individual believer. The common good is good for all who love God and truth. And there will not be the loss of individuality in the sense of the uniqueness of the individual. His personal worth and dignity and his contribution as God desires. And God desires different ones that contribute different ways. We are all different. But there is a meaningful sense of being different. Yes, we can be individualistic in a negative sense, self-centered, selfish, or just going on our own between us and God. But there is a meaningful sense of the individual, the uniqueness of each one of us, the way God has created us, the way he has put us in a particular context, and how we grow, and how he wants us to fit into his overall purposes, even as he wants us to work out together. And so this is the biblical revelation of the meaning, if we learn to work out well, a beautiful picture of diversity in the midst of oneness and oneness in the midst of diversity. So to sum up, what does it mean to be a trustworthy and faithful member of the body of Christ? One way of expressing it in a nutshell is to be faithful to the Lord and fulfill what God desires of each one of us as members of the body of Christ, that God can rely upon us to fulfill what He desires of us, not what I want to do, not what we want to do, but reliable. God can rely upon us to fulfill whatever He desires of us. It's not for us to choose what role and how to go about it. And whatever the difficulties and spiritual opposition along the way, we will continue to trust God and God's grace, God's provisions, God's enabling. We will not be deterred. We will not go astray. We will not crumble. And also, we will learn to persevere together, not just on our own at an individual level, but we will learn to persevere together with the brethren in response to God's call. Together with that, if we are truly faithful in the body of Christ, faithful in the way we fulfill our part and God can rely upon us, it will also mean that those who love God will also find us reliable and can be relied upon to fulfill our part in body life faithfully and effectively. Whatever the circumstances, pressures, and difficulties, when it's really difficult, will we persevere? And even when we do falter, will we get up again and carry on? To what degree we are faithful and reliable as a member of the body of Christ is a major aspect of our accountability to God for our lives on a continuing basis while we are on earth and also ultimately when we face God on Judgment Day. Let us now, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on what God has revealed in the Scriptures, His call, His desire for us in body life, what are the major truths and principles that we need to pay heed to so that we can faithfully fulfill our part, that indeed we may be trustworthy and faithful members of the body of Christ, that we will not be sidetracked, deterred, crumble when there are difficulties and attacks by the evil one, but that we may be able to persevere, not only on our own, but also learn to work together, learn together, persevere together with the brethren in our working in church life. Let us prayerfully reflect over our understanding and how have we been living our lives. Are there aspects in our heart and spirit that are displeasing to God, that give ground to the evil one, that hinders the Spirit of God at work, that hinders body life, that we need to take note of, deal with them, and take corrective measures? Are there aspects of our lives that are positive, we are working at, that will be helpful for us to deepen further, especially at this point of time in our life? Any aspects that we need to pay more attention to? Let's pray the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us at a personal level, and we can also pray the Lord with the freedom to speak to us as a congregation, how we proceed on, how we go on from here in submission to Him and what is in His heart for us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have not left us to our own devices, but You have revealed in the Scriptures how we ought to live, not only our personal relationship with You, but also Your desire for us to function together in body life. We thank You also for the Spirit of God who helps us to gain insight into the truth and strengthen us to walk in it. We pray, Father, that our profession of faith in You will deepen in quality and meaning in our hearts, that indeed we may be committed to You and to what You revealed. We'll be earnest in seeking to understand, to absorb the truth, and to reflect the truth in our lives. We know that this is not easy because the evil one will seek to hinder us from seeing the light, blinding our hearts, and also deterring us, as well as putting many distractions, obstacles in our way. And there are also many difficulties that we may encounter of different kinds as we seek to work out together in church life. We pray that you help us to constantly be conscious of your assurances in the scriptures of your provision for us. As we learn to trust you, we can overcome. The Lord Jesus will build his church. We pray that you help each one of us to be faithful in the way you desire of us, to learn, to grow, and to contribute our part. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will help us as we partake together to draw near to you, to be more deeply conscious of the meaning of what took place at the cross, and not only ending at the cross, but also the implications of the risen Christ, as well as his ascension, his exaltation, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We ask for your blessings as we partake together, and that you prepare our hearts that we may not partake in an unworthy manner, that we will put right what needs to be put right in our lives, and especially our attitude and spirit with which we live, our perspective and approach to life. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.